Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching, focusing on being salt and light in the world, was recorded at our Summer Family Bible Conference and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus was teaching what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And this week, all of the evening services, I'm going to be sharing in a sequence, and I don't know what to call this. I've never really ministered like what I'm going to believe God's led me to do this week. So I don't know what to call it. I don't actually know how to get started. But you know what? I just encourage you to stick with me because I know what's in my heart and it'll eventually get out. And I may stumble around a little bit, but it'll get out and I believe it'll be a blessing to us. Matter of fact, last night I only got just a couple hours sleep because I was thinking about all of this. And I really feel like God has put some things on my heart to say specifically that is going to challenge all of us and be a blessing to us. And so just stick with me. We'll eventually get this out. In the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew is where Jesus started teaching on what's called the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not going to take time to read all this because I'll comment on all of it if I do. But he was saying, blessed are you when you're persecuted. Blessed are you when you mourn. Blessed are you when all of these negative things happen. I mean, a total different mindset from what everybody else would say. Most people would say that when you see a person having this going on in their life, that they ought to be pitied, that there ought to be sympathy and compassion going towards them. Jesus was just turning around and saying, you're blessed. And you got to remember that their situation is totally different than ours. You know, like right now I'm reading this book. It's about a 600-something page book. It's called The Encyclopedia of Christian Martyrs. And I've been reading about martyrs through in the Christian church throughout the centuries and the terrible, terrible, terrible things that happened. And those people just so joyful, praising God, looking forward to it. This one woman, Felicitas, in 204, I think it was, A.D., she was 8 months pregnant and all of her friends were going to be burned at the stake. And she didn't want to miss it. She didn't want, they had a law that you couldn't kill a pregnant woman. And so she was 8 months pregnant and she didn't want to miss dying with her friends and being condemned with some other common criminals. She wanted to go out with the believers. So they all joined around and prayed and she instantly went into labor and delivered this baby at 8 months, which back then, you know, 200 AD was life-threatening. And one of the Roman guards came in and she was having a severe pain and things and said, if you suffer this much giving birth to the baby, what are you going to do when they put you on a stake and set you afire? And she says, but now it's me suffering. She says, when they kill me, it's not going to be me. It'll be the one who lives in me suffering. And so she was delivered of that baby and the very next day went out and was put to death in a very inhumane way. And anyway, you read things like that. This is what these Christians that they were writing to, the people that Jesus was speaking to were the Jews under the Roman occupancy, and people were just being, terrible things were happening. And you know, many people just feel like, well, that would be justification for being discouraged or depressed or whatever. And here comes Jesus just saying, you're blessed. When you're mourned, when you're persecuted, you ought to shout and leap for joy. You know, that's unusual for us now, but think about it. I mean, us at our very worst today, most Christians that have lived would love to have our problems. Most Christians would love to have your poverty. Most Christians would love to have all of the terrible things that are going on in our life. I mean, these people were suffering, and yet Jesus is just telling them to rejoice. Boy, the irony of that, it's just a total different paradigm shift. You know, when you look at things through the eyes of God, when you start looking at the Word of God, it's like taking a pair of binoculars and turning them around backwards. And instead of magnifying everything the way that the world does and making a mountain out of a molehill and just getting upset over basically insignificant things, like I heard one person this last week, was talking about the economy and how bad it is, and everybody's talking about how bad the economy is. And this person called in and says, I was with my daughter, and she was looking for a $300 game, and they had to go to three or four different stores. They were all sold out of them. Finally, they got on the phone and started calling, and they had to reserve one. During this terrible economic time, people are throwing $300 and something for some kind of a video game. Oh, it's hard. It's hard. And so Jesus came along just preaching something totally different. And when you look at things through His perspective, when you look at things through the Word of God, it just changes everything. And so let's start reading here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. He says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. You know, that's easier to read than it is to live. I get a lot of criticism. And all it is criticism. It's not doing anything to me. It's just people criticizing me. People just taking cheap shots. And you know what? It's hard sometimes to take criticism. And when you read a book about these people that are giving their life and doing it to the glory of God and stuff, it makes you feel kind of insignificant, kind of feel like, man, I'm really immature in all of this. And the Lord is just saying that you ought to be rejoicing. In verse 12, He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Somebody was telling me here tonight, I think it was Bobby, somebody over here somewhere, and he was telling me about his father just read him a riot act about how crazy he is and how fanatical he is before he came here and stuff. And I just said, well, you're in good company. That's what they said about Jesus. That's what they've said about all the prophets. That's what Jesus is saying right here. You ought to be rejoicing. What an honor to be considered among people who are persecuted for the name of the Lord. Paul said it this way. He said that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 or 10. Man, he was looking forward to suffering in the name of the Lord. That's not a real popular message in the U.S. In verse 13, these are the verses I wanted to get to. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they shall see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And what I want to talk to you about all of this week is about being salt and light and what this means. And I'm going to be making some specific applications. One of the things that kind of got me stirred up about this, and I won't mention specifics, I'm going to try and avoid being specific on some things lest somebody think that I'm trying to be political and make all these statements. But there's just so many things going on that you know, it makes me mad when you read about some of the things that happen and some of the laws and things that are being done, and it just provokes me. And as I was meditating on this, the Lord spoke some of these scriptures to me and told me about that, you know what, that is a godly reaction and it ought to motivate us to do something about it. And this is what these verses are talking about. Right after He talked about persecution and how that we're supposed to bear it and how we're supposed to rejoice, He told the people that you are the salt of the earth. And you know, I'm going to be talking about this all week, and I'm going to be getting into some very specific things and talking about some things that many of you will consider to be so fundamental, so foundational, so simple that you'll think, man, everybody knows that. But I'm going to show you some statistics and things here that everybody doesn't know it, and this is where one of the areas that the church has been failing in. I believe that, I minister a lot to Christians. And the main thing that God has given me is that I was in religion, and even though I loved God, and even though I lived for God and had a semblance of holiness and stuff like this, man, there was no victory, there was no power in my life until I understood the grace of God and the love of God. And so that's what I minister on most, is about the grace of God And I make no apologies for that, but I assume a lot. I assume that people have the basics and that they just need to be set free in some of these things. And the Lord spoke to me that, you know, people really don't have the basics. People don't have some of these foundational things, and that's one of the reasons that we're losing it in our culture and seeing some of these things happen. It's because the church hasn't been effective putting this out. So it says here that we are the salt of the earth. I'm going to share with you that when it comes to salt, salt does three things. Salt will kill, salt will preserve, and salt also adds flavor. And the Lord here made this comparison and said that this is what we are. Now, let me make a point here that He didn't tell you to act like salt. He didn't tell you to start becoming like salt or to acquire some of these things and start moving in that direction. This is what we are. When you got born again, you are the salt of the earth. You are the thing that is going to kill the infections and the ungodliness that comes into this world. It is the things that God has placed on the inside of us. We are the salt of the earth. We are also the preservative for this earth. We are the one that keeps this thing going. And you know, I wished I had more statistics. I just have a knowing in my heart. I've got some things up here that maybe I'll get to and read tonight. But there are some great things happening in this earth. And we don't hear about it near as much as we should because our news media is certainly not reporting all of the good things. Like, I've got a stat up here, and let me just quickly refer to this. I won't read this whole thing, but these are some of the positive things that one of our, Jay Randolph, the guy that does a lot of my writing of my books, he transcribes them and turns them into books, and he went through and found some of these positive things that are.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to make a difference by being salt and light in the world. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado. It's available in an 8-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request series RM230 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday.
You know, the things that I'm sharing with you are just life-changing, and I constantly have people saying, man, I've never heard this before, and how do I get more? Well, we've got a lot of ways, but you know, really one of the best ways to get these truths established in your heart is through our Charis Bible College. And we not only have the campus that is here in Colorado Springs, our main campus with about 250, 300 people, but we have about 300 to 400 people that take it by correspondence course. We have over 300 people in different extension schools and foreign Charis Bible College schools. So there's a number of ways that you can take advantage of this, and I encourage you to call and request information about our Charis Bible Colleges.